Well, as we come to look at this very graphic vision of Ezekiel's, let's pray for God's help to see how it matters to us today. Father, we're talking about your Holy Spirit at work today. I pray that you would open our hearts by your Spirit to hear what you are saying, and open my mouth to speak your truth by that same Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder how are things for you at the moment. It has been a tough year. I'm sure you've heard me say that before and many other people say that. We've been through a horrendous pandemic. It's affected us all in bad ways. We've had restrictions, meaning we've had to stay at home. We've not been able to see loved ones. We've maybe had our education affected. Maybe our work or our finances affected. In all sorts of ways, the pandemic has hit us as individuals. And for some people, particularly where the pressures of the pandemic are combined with other pressures in their lives, maybe their own ill health or the ill health of others, maybe the death of loved ones, maybe struggles with mental health, maybe troubles in their relationships. For many of those people in those situations, the pressure of the pandemic has just added to the pressure and made it a harder and harder situation to be in. And maybe for you at this time, at this moment, maybe you are struggling. Yes, many of us have been able to, by God's grace, to keep going through the pandemic despite all the problems. Many of us have actually grown in deeper in faith because of the pressures and growing reliance on God. But not everyone. Some of you may really have struggled in different ways. Maybe rather than a growth in faith, you feel your faith slipping away. You maybe feel cut off from God, just as you're cut off from the rest of the church. Maybe there is a sense of hope fading or going. Or maybe just feeling lower and lower. Sometimes when you read the Psalms, that sort of feeling is expressed in powerful ways. Deep depression is not foreign to the Bible. It's not foreign to God. It's not foreign to God's people. We all struggle, and that's nothing new. I mean, just look at these words from Psalm 88. The psalmist writes, "For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care." I hope that's not how you're feeling, but for some of you, maybe that is how you're feeling. Maybe partly or mainly because of the pandemic, or maybe for other reasons. Does your hope feel like it's gone? And maybe when we think, no, not just about ourselves as individuals, but about our churches. May you worry or wonder, is a church ever going to come back from this lockdown? In a way, we've been in exile from the church building. Yes, some of us are meeting in the church building, but it's not quite the same. We're missing everyone else. There's only about 20 of us. We would often have 100 or so on a Sunday before the lockdown. That's a different experience. And we have to wear masks, and that, in a sense, cuts you off from others, and we can't sing in church. It's not the same experience, although there are advantages in at least being with others and seeing others. And for those of you watching at home online, yes, online church is far better than nothing. There is still some kind of connection, and you can, at least at home, sing along with the songs and the praises, but you're there by yourself or just maybe with one or two others from your family. You are cut off from the rest of the church family. It's not the same. And as the pandemic goes on, and maybe there's threats that even the hope that we will be back to normal in late June, there's threats to that at the moment. Maybe your hope is fading for the church. Can God bring the church back from this? Can we be restored to the way we were before? Is your hope fading for the church? Well, both if your hope is fading as an individual or if your hope is fading for the church, this passage from Ezekiel is written for you. Actually, originally, it was written for Israel, for the Jews at the time of Ezekiel in the 6th century BC. And for them, there were troubles, big troubles, much bigger troubles than we are facing now. In 597 BC, the Babylonians came against Jerusalem, they besieged the city, and they captured the city. And all the important people, all the people that ran the place, were dragged off in exile to Babylon, including people like Ezekiel himself. And Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, set up a puppet king in Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem continued with a king in place, with the temple in place, with the walls in place, but many of the Jews were now exiles in Babylon. And there was still hope. There's still a king in Jerusalem. Maybe these Babylonians will soon fall apart. Maybe their empire would collapse. Jerusalem can be a city under its own rule again, with its own king again, and we can return from exile. Maybe that will happen. Maybe it will happen soon. But Ezekiel kept saying to them, no. The reason we're in exile is because of God's judgment on the people, because the people of Jerusalem ignored God's laws. They ignored God's justice. They did not worship God but worshipped idols, and so God has come in judgment on them. That's why they're in exile, and things are going to get worse before they get better. And then in 586 BC, Jerusalem rebelled again against Babylon, and the Babylonians came against the city once more. But this time, the result ended in them breaking down the walls, burning down the temple, and killing off the king. And in Ezekiel 33, we're told the moment that they heard, the exiles heard what had happened. Ezekiel 33, verse 21, it says, in the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day, a man had escaped from Jerusalem, came to me and said, the city has fallen. Suddenly now for those exiles in Babylon, hope seemed completely gone. How on earth would God restore the people now? Surely now they were cut off from their land, cut off from their temple, cut off from their gods. Surely now all they could do was just become a part of the bigger Babylonian empire and get on with their lives. Had God abandoned them? Was there really now no hope? Well, to that despair, God sends his vision to Ezekiel. And we see that the context, if you look at verse 11 in the passage, it says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. You see, this vision is exactly for that situation, but not just for that situation, for similar situations that we face as the people of God throughout the ages. And what is the vision? Well, it's this vision of dry bones. And it's a great vision in many ways. It's very detailed, isn't it? Ezekiel's taken by the spirit to this valley, and his valley's full of dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, after showing him the valley, he says this question, can these bones live? How would you answer that question? The obvious answer is no. Of course not gods. These aren't just corpses on the ground. These corpses of the flesh has rotted away. The bones have dried up. These are people that have been dead for a long, long time. And even anyone that's just died, there's no way of bringing them back to life. These bones are well and truly dead. There's no way they can live. It's scientifically, medically impossible. This is a hopeless situation. They're cut off from life. But Ezekiel doesn't answer the question in that way. You see, this obvious answer of no speaks to the situation of the Israelites. For them, exiled in Babylon, could they live? Could they be restored as a nation? How on earth is that possible? Jerusalem's destroyed, the king is gone, the temple is gone. There's no hope for them now. Israel is dead, it's buried. There's no possible future life. And at times, people in our culture will look at the church, they'll see the declining numbers, they'll see the elderly congregations, and they'll say that the church is as good as dead. That seems the obvious answer. And it may be that in your own life, you look at your situation, you look at how you're feeling, and you feel, there's no way out of this. There's no way out of my problems. There's no way out of my difficulties. There's no way back to a decent life. Can these bones live? You say no. And yet Ezekiel doesn't answer the question in that way. Ezekiel realizes, I think, that God's trying to trick him. And he says to God, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Ezekiel is quick not to state the obvious, not to look at the possible, but to allow that God is the one who can do the impossible. And so God gives his answer to the question. And the answer is amazingly, yes, Ezekiel, these bones can live. And he tells Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones, tell them that they're going to live, that they're going to be alive again. And so Ezekiel gets up, and he prophesies to the bones. He speaks God's word to them. I don't know how Ezekiel felt about that. Maybe he felt particularly foolish speaking to loads of dry bones. At least there was no one else there apart from God to hear. And sometimes as we speak to people about Jesus Christ, sometimes as I preach to congregations, particularly maybe if it's a funeral or a wedding, and try and say something about the good news of Jesus, something about the hope of eternal life, you feel like you're speaking to dry bones. You feel like that no one is going to take on board what you're saying. No one is going to really understand the truth, the wonderful truth you're saying, and believe and have eternal life. It feels like at times we're talking to dry bones, and yet God calls us to do that, just as he called Ezekiel to preach to these dry bones. And when Ezekiel preached these dry bones, God did what seemed absolutely impossible. The bones began to shake. Then there was rattling. The bones came together. The tendons grew on the bones. The flesh, the muscles grew on the bones, and the skin covered them. And suddenly there wasn't just bones in the valley. There was now corpses. The preaching of God's word had made a miraculous difference, but more was needed. And so God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the spirits to come into these bodies. This is not preaching to people now, this is praying. Over this last week, we've been praying each day at St. George's. I hope maybe you've been praying more at home as well as we come up to Pentecost. And we've been praying particularly, come Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel here is saying, come Holy Spirit, make these dry bones live. And as he prays this, as he does what God tells him, the Spirit comes and it enters these corpses, and the corpses come alive and they get up, and what had been a valley of dry bones is suddenly now a valley filled with a mighty and a great and an amazing and a wonderful army of God's people. Can these dry bones live? Yes, God says. And how do they live? They live because Ezekiel preaches God's word and he prays for God's Spirit to come. And our calling today as Christians is not to do the impossible, but is to preach God's words and to pray and let God do the impossible. Can these dry bones live? Yes. Has hope gone? No. Are we cut off from God? No. And you see, this was the message that hope is renewed. And in the renewal, it's not just a restoration, but it is restoration for better. God will bring people out of exile to a new life. And first of all, let's think what this meant for the people of Israel. God was saying to them, look, things look hopeless. Jerusalem, the temple are destroyed. You are exiles in Babylon, away from the land. But God says to the people, I will bring you back to the land. I will restore you, but I'll do more than restore you. I'll put my Spirit in you that you will truly live. And in 539 BC, I know it's a lifetime later, but amazingly, God's promise through Ezekiel, through Jeremiah, through Isaiah came true. The Persians defeated Babylon. And Cyrus the Great, the king of the Persians, said, right now, Jews, you can go back to Jerusalem. You can rebuild your temple. In fact, I'll pay for it to be rebuilt. You can have your place again, yes, as part of the empire, but you can be in your lands. And so the people from 539 BC onwards were able to return to their land, to rebuild the temple, and to be the people that God wanted them to be. And so they had knowledge, fresh knowledge, that they knew, as it says in our passage. At the end, it says in verse 14, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it. And so they had new knowledge that God is the one who speaks his promises and his word, and those that speaking in that word will come to fulfillment. God can be trusted. God can save. God can figuratively raise a dead nation back to life. This was new knowledge, fresh knowledge that built on what God had done in the past for them. But also God says, you'll have my Spirit within you. And what was the Spirit for? Well, it was to give them new life. But the life now that was different to the life before, no longer were they to live by doing injustice. No longer were they to live by worshipping idols. Now they were truly to be God's people with the help of God's Spirit. And in the previous chapter, chapter 36, verses 26 to 27, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. They're going to be restored for better, restored for obedience, restored to be a light to the nations. That was what happened in the 6th century BC. That's what this prophecy was initially about. And yet this prophecy, as many prophecies in the Bible, has different places of fulfillment. And in Christ, it finds an even greater fulfillment in the birth of the church. Jesus came and he brought God's word afresh. He spoke in power and authority, and many people, the disciples in particular, heard his words and responded. They turned back to God. And then Jesus died on the cross to rescue us, not from Babylonians, but to rescue us from sin, that great slave master of our lives, and to rescue us from death as he rose again from the dead. And having died and risen again, Jesus went up to his Father in heaven, and from there, at Pentecost. He sent the Holy Spirit on the church. So now, knowing not only has God figuratively got the power to bring a nation back to life, but seeing in the resurrection now, we know that God has the power to raise literally the dead to a resurrected life, as he had done in Jesus. And now with the Spirit in our lives, that we can once more live in obedience to him. Also, the church discovered a new mission, to be truly the light of the nations. On that first Pentecost Sunday, they were able to preach in different languages so that people from all nations could hear the good news about Jesus, could hear the good news that God can raise the dead, and could turn in obedience to follow God once more for their lives and become part of the church. And so the church has grown to be a mighty army, an army filled with the spirits of those that were dead spiritually, but now are alive through Christ. That is what we are as a church. We're restored for better. And that is the way God works. And so as we're concerned about our church in this nation, maybe particularly about St. Luke's coming out of the exile that we've been in during this pandemic, let's remember that God is the God who can bring new life, even out of the situation of exile. He will restore us. And let's pray that God's Holy Spirit will come. Let's focus on God's word, that we are restored for better, that we know more deeply that God is the God who saves, God is the God who rescues us, and God is the God who can give us hope even beyond death. That we are a people that are more obedient to God, to want to live for him in every aspect of our lives, in every day of our lives. And we're a God that are keen that his word will be shared. We're a people that are keen that his word will be shared with others. Let's pray that we as a church are renewed, that we're restored for better, that God's Spirit will breathe on us to bring us to life again. And for us, particularly those of us that maybe are feeling particularly low, maybe who are feeling that hope is gone, or that they're cut off from God, well, remember the people that Ezekiel was speaking to. Their situation was desperate as a nation. And yet in time, and it was in time, let's not pretend that this happened instantly, let's not pretend that they were restored straight away. There's a long time between 586 BC and 539 BC. You maybe go through struggles for a while longer yet. But if you hold on to God, God will hold on to you. He will restore you from those feelings of being cut off. He will restore your hope. And he will renew your life. Can these dry bones live? The answer is yes. Because God will do it. So let us, like Ezekiel, keep sharing God's word and keep praying for God's Spirit to come upon us and breathe into us new life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Help us to know your blessing and your power and to know that new life that comes only through your Spirit. Lord, however we're feeling, however low or hopeless, help us to look to you as the one who raises the dead. In your name we pray. Amen.